From the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
In those days when there was again a great crowd without anything to eat, Jesus summoned his disciples and said, "My heart is moved with pity for the crowd. They have been with me now for 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them away hungry to their homes, they will collapse on the way. Some of them have come a great distance." His disciples answered him, "Where can anyone get enough bread to satisfy them here in this deserted place?" Still he asked them, "How many loaves do you have?" They replied, "Seven." He ordered the crowd to sit down on the ground. Then taking the 7 loaves, he gave thanks, broke them, and gave them to his disciples to distribute. And they distributed them to the crowd. They also had a few fish. He said the blessing over them and ordered them to be distributed also. They ate and were satisfied. They picked up the fragments left over, 7 baskets. There were about 4,000 people. He dismissed the crowd and got into the boat with his disciples and came to the region of Dalmanutha. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
We have today the end of the cycle that the Church gives us in the liturgical readings, which began with Samuel and then went to David. So Samuel, Saul, David, Solomon. And now we finish. And there was a trajectory about how God was seeking to lead his people to him. He was speaking, and we needed to listen. And David, though he sinned, came back and built the temple for the Lord. Solomon had started out. What an extraordinary culmination. But then the fall began to happen when his wise and understanding heart, the gift of God, was squandered to a lustful heart, to a corrupt heart, finally to an idolatrous one. Yesterday we saw what was happening in the kingdom as God had prophesied on Thursday when we were together, that the kingdom would be divided. Jeroboam would become the leader of what would now be called Israel, the 10 tribes to the north. He had been the public works superintendent for Solomon, and Solomon built so many places, including many pagan temples. And then in the south would be David's grandson, Solomon's son through an Ammonite pagan, Rehoboam. And it was there that we see in the north what Jeroboam did. Rather than following this progression, rather than responding to the Lord's summons to come to him and to lead others to him, he did exactly the opposite. First, feared that if the people went to Jerusalem, they would worship God. He tried to frame it in political terms because he was not himself caring about God at all. But he said if they returned to David's house in Jerusalem, offering sacrifices in the temple of the Lord, they'll return to their master. And their master wouldn't be the Lord, but the master would be Rehoboam. If they did that, I'm a goner. So what did he do instead? He first made a different god, 2 calves of gold. And he said, "Here is your God, O Israel, who brought you out of the land of Egypt." Echoing the exact same phrase after the coward Aaron made the golden calf in the desert. Then he built 2 different temples, one in the north in Dan, one in the southern part of the 10 tribes, which would be Bethel. Bethel, house of God. No, it wasn't. that people went to those two temples to worship those calves. He built temples in the high places, and third, made priests from among them who were not Levites. It was no longer going to be a vocation from God to serve, but as we see a little bit later, whoever desired it was consecrated and became a priest of the high places. And the sacred author says, this was the sin on the part of the house of Jeroboam, for which it was cut off and destroyed from the earth. Wasn't enough to make different gods, wasn't enough to constitute new high sacred places, wasn't enough to build temples to those fake gods in those artificial high places. But they consecrated those who were not chosen by God to lead to him, but whoever desired it became a minister because they had lost a sense of genuine sacrality. This can happen, and it still happens today. Maybe not in all four all at once, but it still happens, and we need to look at it. Plenty of different gods. Pope Francis is always talking about the new golden calf of money, just one of many. But there is the old god of Moloch in abortion. There's clearly the god of Artemis in lust and sexuality. Still the god of Bacchus in the way people with their various addictions continue to be drawn away from the Lord. We need to be aware of that. There are new high places, new temples being built all the time. The biggest, of course, are sports stadiums where people choose to go on Sunday rather than to the church. It's a new form of worship where the new saints are the athletic heroes. We could likewise say it's the same type of thing when you've got rock singers and everything else. Things that in themselves aren't necessarily bad, but they become means over the course of time to draw people away. We've got new claims for the priests, those who intercede with the sacred today, not just those who want anyone to be able to be ordained, whether they have a vocation or not, but also worldly gurus. So many people now look to the psychiatric sciences as those who are going to minister to the stuff that cannot be seen. Again, not bad in itself, but it's the meaning that's placed behind it that can lead people away. In the context of this circumstance of our collective houses, the Lord wants people to cooperate with him in leading them to him. The great high priest, the new temple, God in the flesh, whether he was in the highest places or the lowest places, appears in the gospel. And he appears with extraordinary love for people who are like sheep without shepherds, who need people to shepherd them appropriately. Today we see the extraordinary miracle he works for them, but as we've talked about before, the miracle wasn't ex nihilo, though he clearly had the power. He had created the heavens and the earth, could have made a filet mignon meal out of nothing. But he starts by asking the question, how many loaves do you have? In that vast crowd, 7 loaves were found and a few fish. But that was enough. He started with whatever could be given. And he fed in such a way that there was great thanksgiving to God. Today the church celebrates the feast of Saint Scholastica, who still today, 1500 years later, leads people by her example to the Lord, leads people through all the daughters who live according to the rule that she established, who help people to learn how to pray to the true God and true worship in the Holy Spirit. Today in the Office of Readings, as I'm sure you read, we see something quite noteworthy. It's one of our favorite, right? I'm sure I'm not speaking just for myself. It's one of our favorite scenes in all of sacred history when she says to her brother, I asked you when you said no, I asked the Lord and he said yes. And brought that thunderstorm so that they could continue praying into the night. She likely had intimated that this was going to be the last time they'd ever see each other on earth. They wanted to spend that time thanking God. But she needed to lead her brother in a way, which is essentially the point I want to work to. St. Gregory the Great, more or less a spiritual son of St. Benedict, founded the first Benedictine monastery in Rome after he had left being prefect of Rome, mayor of Rome, in order precisely to do it. Loved St. Benedict as much as anybody could, and actually helped to spread Benedict's charism. Benedict, who had led so many to the Lord, Gregory was the great papal propagator. And yet, what does Gregory say about that interaction between Scholastica and her brother, Benedict? That Scholastica got her way because she loved the Lord more. Loved the Lord more than Benedict, one of the greatest saints who has ever lived, patron of Europe, father of Western monasticism. Scholastica, her sister, loved the Lord more. Now that is in sacred scripture. It's not necessarily given the nihil obstat of the church, but nevertheless, probably true. Benedict, with all the sanctity, needed to be led to a greater love of the Lord, and his sister showed not only that greater fraternal love, but that greater filial love for the Lord. Women religious, as I like to say a lot, have that real task in the church to show everyone, priests, bishops, popes, all the faithful, and all the others in the world, how to love the Lord better. This is the greatest way we repair the damage done by the scandalous Jeroboams.